All right, Saints. So I did another study, and we've talked about this before, but I wanted to do it as an article and discuss it some because it's a very fundamental doctrine that hardly anybody in churchianity teaches, but it's very fundamental. Biblical separation. So biblical separation is the doctrine taught in scripture that teaches how, why, and in what cases the believers and saints of God should separate from sin, false brethren, heresy, and other situations like it. It is taught throughout scripture, and this study will try to make it as clear as the Lord allows. To start with, consider the following passage, the words of the Lord in Matthew 18, starting at verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. This passage teaches how the ecclesia, the body, should deal with sin, starting on a personal level up to an open sin, about which Paul said in 1 Timothy 5, 20 and 21, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without partiality, without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." We see then that as brethren in the body, when one sins against another, the offended one should address it. If his brother hears and repents, he has won his brother and is commanded to forgive him. Luke 17, 3-4 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. If the one rebuked or admonished does not repent, then the other brothers are involved. If there is still no repentance, then it is brought before the whole body. And if no repentance is shown, he is cut off, put out, he is held as a publican and sinner. This is for several reasons. One, it is for God's glory. Christ did not shed his blood so that we could live in sin, overlook sin, and allow sin. Sin is death, and for God's glory, it must be rooted out. Two, it is for the purity of the body. Galatians 5, 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Jesus taught how we should deal with sin in our lives, Matthew 18, 8-9. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with 1 eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. It is worth noting that this was said immediately before he taught us about sin in the body, and it shows us also how we should cut off all sin and offending members in the body if they do not repent. Three, it is good for the person who is being disciplined. It is the way God taught us to, and it is intended to wake up the sinner and bring him to repentance, that he would see that the sin has consequences, and that he might give the Spirit, and that we might give the Spirit something to convict him with. This is biblical separation from sin in the body. We will now turn to biblical separation as a saint seeking truth among thousands of heresies and lies, false brethren, and false converts. This following section will deal with both biblical separation from sin that is applicable and taught for the ecclesia body, as well as on a more personal level, as there are very few saints, and if they follow Christ in spirit and truth and be faithful to Scripture, they must practice this or compromise on sin and heresy. To start this section, consider these passages. Luke 12, 51-53. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Matthew 10:34-38. He echoes the same passage. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The Lord made it without doubt that there will be separation and division. When one chooses to follow Christ, one must leave everything for him, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Yes, Jesus taught that we will be separated from flesh and blood family, and that we must do this. If we love them more than him, we are not worthy of him. The reasons for why we would have to do this, and what the reason and situation would be for separation. First, consider this passage. 1 Corinthians 5:9-11. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Paul here teaches that those of the world who do not know or claim Christ, we are not commanded to avoid, but with such we preach the gospel to them and are a light of truth in the darkness. With those who do claim Christ, if any man that is called a brother, but who live in unrepentant sin, we are not to keep company with such a one, not even to eat with them. This is shown in other scriptures such as 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Again, he says, 2 Thess 3:14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. We start to see what this means, namely, withdraw yourselves, have no company with that man. And further, we are told, Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. To summarize this, when someone claims Christ, call themselves a believer, and keep sin they won't repent of, it can be anything from false doctrine to fornication. Paul mentions things like being lazy, not obeying the word of God. It can be any sin. Then we mark that person, we rebuke them, we withdraw, avoid, and have no company with such a one. This goes both for a body dealing with sin and for a single saint in dealing with others, and yes, even in a single saint dealing with a body or a church. If a church is keeping sin, teaching heresy, etc., the saint must mark, call out before all, 1 Timothy 5, withdraw, separate, avoid, and have no company with them. Many scriptures back this up as well. Consider the following scriptures. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 1 John 1:5-7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. These passages make it without doubt that the saints should be set apart from sin. They have no fellowship with the works of darkness. This applies to both claimed Christians living in sin as well as having close associations with ungodly and sinful things, either the world, carnal people, Satan's kingdom, etc. God will judge sin and separate it to eternal destruction in the lake of fire. If we wish to escape this judgment through Christ, we must likewise separate ourselves from all sin in all cases. This is the biblical separation that is taught throughout Scripture. Jesus said it will cause us to be separated from family, friends, the world, and everything that is not of God. People who disobey this, who keep unity and fellowship with those that they know are in sin, heresy, false ways, and doctrines, choose to become partakers of that sin and are guilty of it. When a saint participates in sin and does not stand against it, call it out, warn of judgment, and separates from it, is that saint not consenting to it, condoning it, and being a partaker of it? When one who claims Christ stays part of a false body and does not separate from it, are they not likewise consenting to the lies and heresy and becoming partakers of it? The excuse often used is that they will stay a part of it to be a light. This is based on man's twisted reasoning, not God's word. One cannot be a light when one is walking in darkness. Let them come out and walk in the light, and then call others out into the light. When one is in a pool of quicksand, one must get out and then from outside, standing on firm ground, throw a rope back to pull others out. To jump back into the quicksand and the idea that one will talk to others in the same danger and somehow help them when one was in grave danger themselves is folly. The very best one could be then is a hypocrite, as Jesus said in Matthew 7. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. First, we must get out of sin, false ways, false doctrines, etc. Get the beam out of your eye, and then, when you can see clearly, you can help another. So that was my study on biblical separation thus far. Do brothers have anything to correct or add to it?
I have nothing to correct. I heard everything very clear, concise. You added a whole bunch of really good scriptures. I do have a couple thoughts, but maybe I'll let Brother Purgos go first. Brother Purgos, what say you about biblical separation? You and I have talked about that a lot extensively in the past.
Amen, we have. Brother Zelos, you have hit all the points I could think of. I thought of a couple additional scriptures to possibly add, but very well and very thorough, brother.
Do you have those scriptures to share, brother?
Yes. I was thinking about our study we did the other day, and I love how God always puts certain things first. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I love how God always puts super important things first. And a human platitude, I won't even bother repeating, but I love how in scripture it always says to let your light so shine before men. And when we're light and we've separated, we give even more conviction and power, as you mentioned, for the Holy Spirit to convict, and hopefully it will bring God glory and it will keep you pure, as you said. And letting your light shine before others gives them the best possible shot of redemption, or they should hopefully feel convicted if they're not turned over.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you have more of Brother Purgos, or were you done?
Those were the ones I felt worthy of bringing.
All right. I wanted to talk about, the importance of being in the body and not being involved in sin, not practicing sin, not walking with those that keep sin. Revelation 3:4, Christ says, "Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." We're supposed to be worthy. We've been talking about this a lot as a body of believers. And I don't know how we're worthy in the body if we acquiesce to willful sin. Hebrews 10:26 tells us there's no sacrifice for willful sin. So if you have people that are willfully sinning, they won't repent, so they can be disciplined and then remain in the body and then be helped along. They're living in willful sin. They got to be put out. They need what people call church discipline, but they need to be biblically separated from. I don't know how you're going to walk worthy and please God when you allow leaven inside the body. Christ says no such thing in his people. And then I also wanted to share Exodus 32. Brothers and sisters, remember this when people tell you, "Wow, you're so harsh. Oh, you are so hard. You're going to tell us that we got to leave our worldly, unbiblical family that claims Christ. You're so hard. We got to put out Uncle George from the body, that his grandfather started this Baptist church and he's a drunk now. But what do you mean we got to discipline and put him out, or he just does a bunch of false ways?" Well, ready? Let's go to Exodus 32. What we have to do today in biblical separation is so much easier than what they had to do back then. The mercy and the grace of God is so much different today. He's the same God, but right now, he's allowing things to be carried out a little bit differently. Exodus 32. Here's what Moses said. Moses, the meekest man on earth, called by God. Moses said, and he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." So this is God saying this. "Put every man his sword by his side." Before I read this, let me give you the context. Moses says, "Who's with me will serve God this day?" In the Levitical priesthood, boom, a whole bunch of them come to him. Now this is what Moses says to go do with the people that said they would not serve the Lord this day. He says, "He saith, the Lord God said, put every man his sword by his side. Go in and out, gate to gate, through the camp, and slay every man, his brother, every man, his companion, every man, his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell that day 3,000 men. I find it interesting, 3,000 men are killed that day for their rebellion and stubbornness against God. And then in Acts 2, 3,000 repent and are born into the body of Christ. It's kind of interesting how God mirrors those too. But look at what we just have to separate from false convert family members or sinful people or people that are in our body. We got to put them out. We don't have to hack them apart with a sword. I will take putting my worldly relatives out and avoiding them when I see them at Walmart versus taking a sword and cutting them to pieces. How about you, brothers?
Amen.
Oh, yes.
It shows,
so you don't have to call down fire from the sky anymore.
Right. It shows you how merciful God is and how long-suffering he is. And then I was also thinking about James, the book of James. And I think we all know this verse pretty well. But it says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction," and this part, "to keep yourself unspotted from the world." Well, what we try to tell all these people we run into is that body of Christ you're going to is not the true body of Christ. It's an invention of Satan. It's mingled with the world. It's corrupted by the world. It's perverted by the world. And it's feminism, pride and vanity, pagan holidays, carnality, sin and flesh. How do people expect to keep themselves unspotted from the world while they walk with people that keep willful sin and are worldly and infect them? 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts. That might be, I didn't hear, I don't know if you read that one, brother. Did you read 1 Corinthians 15:33?
No.
That might be one to add in their article too, because it kind of refutes the people that say, well, if I leave, then there won't be any truth there, and I want to hang out with them so that I can, you know, eventually, that we know that's a bunch of hogwash. They just want to stay in their fellowship because they like it there, and it's easy believism. That verse would also convict them that we're not to have bad company around us.
May I say something?
Go ahead, Brother Purgos.
Wouldn't it also be partiality that they're spending all this time trying to tell these people the truth instead of their neighbor and the person across the street who needs that truth just as much?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't they upon sin in that case?
Oh, yeah. That's a great point, brother. Yeah. That's a great point.
There's a quote. I have no idea who said it. It was some missionary. I have no idea where it comes from. But it was a quote that a missionary once said, and it's just, it's food for thought. Is it even right to tell some people twice or three times when so many have never heard it once?
Yeah.
It's just food for thought.
Yeah, it is partiality. I'm going to stay with my family members because I'm going to be here and I love them and I want to win them. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. And if they claim Christ and are living sinfully, you got to honor God and do what he calls you to do. So a lot of people have what we call fellowship idolatry, and they don't practice biblical separation. And another point that is a good one, whether you want to put it in your article or not, or it's always a good talking point in the street, I always make this point. Let's talk about this. So what's the model of the New Testament body versus the model of the churchianity today? How are they polar opposite, Brother Purgos? You might know where I'm going with this. We talked about it in the past.
I know for our fellowship, there is a very, very narrow front door that comes through Christ, his shed blood, our faith in it, our repentance, the Lord adding us to the body, or our profession of faith and fruit seen by the brethren, and our living that out in holiness and obedience and continuing. And if any one of us in our fellowship decides to be in sin, we don't hold them in. We may exhort and rebuke and be long-suffering if they're not willfully staying in sin, but the back door is wide open. There is no gospel man basement, and no one shackles anyone to keep them. And churchianity is exactly the opposite. That front door is so wide, you can come in practicing sin, basically. And the sign says, come as you are, but that's code for stay as you are. You're not going to probably ever change. And short of killing the pastor or destroying their building, you probably won't get put out.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Well said. I don't know if something like that is something you want for your article, or that's a good talking point to just explain to people how they're not following the model that Christ ordained. They're following a man-made religious system that's very man-pleasing, but not holy and righteous and, ready, hard on sin. I mean, how many sins did it take before God said, Adam and Eve, you're done? It must have been, what, 10, 20, 30 sins? I think it was one. I think it was one, wasn't it?
Yes.
And so we have to be hard on sin. And without good biblical separation, are you hard on sin at all?
No.
No. So.
Again, that's the first reason for biblical separation.
Yeah.
Is God's glory, because Christ did not die so we could live in sin, allow sin, and overlook sin.
Amen.
He then shed his blood so that we could keep going in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me of the verse. It keeps echoing in my brain. It's, let me go find it. It's 2 Timothy. I always get 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4 confused because they're kind of say the same thing. It's talking about the last days. I think it might be 4. Let's see. It talks about, no, maybe it is three. Hold on. Yeah, I'm sorry, I found it. It is three. I always get 2 Timothy 3 and 4 mixed up because they talk about the same things as far as the last days. But Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 3, 1, perilous times will come. But in verse 5 or 4, he talks about traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's your sin. And he went through and listed a bunch of sin, truce breakers, without natural affections, all that. But verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Every time I think of that, what do you think I think of, Brother Zelos? They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. What do you think that, what do you, how would you explain that related to this?
I'd explain it with all the churchianity people who basically have this attitude of, oh, we're all just poor sinners, so we can't overcome sin. Yep. And they deny the power of God in our lives to actually be able to overcome sin and live lives where we live holy, righteous lives pleasing to God.
Yep, that's exactly right, brother.
They might have a form of it in man-made doctrines or going to church or something, but they'd actually deny the power of God.
Yeah, ready? The form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The last church we stood outside, Brother Akuo was with us. Men coming out, actually saw men carrying Bibles. Wow. Don't see that very often. I know everybody uses their phone a lot now. I do. But we saw men carrying Bibles, so it's a marker. And I would say, hey, men, you have Bibles. You must be claiming Christ. Why are you practicing sin here? And they walk right by. They will not open the scriptures. They will not defend their sin. They will not say, what do you mean it's sin? They walk right by. They have the appearance of godliness carrying their Bible to church, but they deny the power of God to overcome sin. Well, I can't leave here. I've been here for 20 years. Yeah, I know we're accepting LGBT now, but I got to look over it because I love my brethren. And they deny the power. And so this biblical separation that you taught about here very well, it gives us the power to purge the leaven from the body, and it shows other people that yes, you can overcome sin, and yes, you don't have to allow it in the body, and yes, God can overcome this. And look at again, I don't remember, did you mention anything about 1 Corinthians 5, the man thrown out for sexual sin, brother?
I didn't mention that, but I did quote from there, and basically, if any man be called a brother.
Yeah, so 1 Corinthians 5, the man is thrown out for sexual sin. And people say, oh, that's so terrible. Yeah, go read 2 Corinthians. He's reinstated. He repented. It worked. And the body was all shown, this is wickedness. You're puffed up about this, Paul said, and they threw him out. So the body is full of this exact action, and you will never, ever find, I've never found it, not even a hint of any verse in the scriptures that ever okays sin, approves of sin, says overlook sin, don't act and react to sin. You will not find it anywhere. But yet everybody in churchianity overlooks sin, doesn't react to sin. The Bible is very harsh about sin. It calls us out of sin. It put Adam and Eve out of the garden, and it put our master on the cross, on the stake. How wicked. And I guess my last thought I would have is this. If we don't deal with sin in the so-called body in our life and in the so-called body of Christ, are we not trampling the blood of Christ?
Yeah, you're consenting to it. If you don't call out sin and separate from it, you're basically saying, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. We're trampling the blood of Christ. We're going, oh, whatever, he died for it and whatever, put more up there. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And that's why it's such a basic doctrine. But what it is it's a divider. Christ came to divide. And biblical separation divides. And you see it in your family. We see it in our family. Everyone. Everybody hearing my voice right now. All the brothers and sisters. Biblical separation has sliced everybody apart. That's exactly what the Lord requires and wants. To call out his people to himself. It's a beautiful thing when we do it rightly. And then we cannot end this without saying, Hey, Brother Purgos, everybody you ever knew from your old church, your old family, everything, we told them they're all lost and they have no hope and never contact us again because you're doomed no matter what. Is that what we tell people?
No, we're not Calvinist. We tell them you can reach out and we will help you. But my inbox is not overflowing, so...
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Look at, this might be a good time. Now, maybe we won't do it here on the audio. Well, I'll have something to bring up, but we won't do it on this audio. Anything else on Brother Zelos' teaching on biblical separation? I thought he did a great job. I thought we brought up a few other good points. It's very, very critical to never let any leaven in our life, in our house, in our bodies. Amen.
Amen.
Because it's going to fester, it's going to puff up into something else. It's not a good witness. It doesn't glorify God. So we want to make sure, and it's loving. It's loving. It's loving. We don't want our brothers and sisters to walk around living in sin. Brother Purgos today tried to help a young man wearing a Jesus shirt. He tried to show the man his sin. The man said, I got to go. He didn't care about coming out of sin, but he's got this big bodacious shirt with Jesus on it and crosses and everything, but he don't care about his sin. There's something dreadfully wrong here. Yeah, we know what it's wrong. They're all walking around in false doctrine. Christ cleanses all my sin, even though I keep sinning. And nowhere does the Bible teach that anywhere.
Amen.
So the call to righteousness goes out. We need Christ's perfect righteousness, but now we must walk in righteousness. And how do we walk in righteousness if we allow sin in ourselves or in the body? Is that righteous in any way before God?
No, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen. I guess we'll leave it right there. That's an excellent way to leave and end this audio. So good job, brothers. Thank you for that. This will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area to edify others as they listen on. Well done, Brother Zelos.
Amen.